Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, March 25th, 2025. As always, we begin with today's top stories. The first headline reads, Champaign County State's Attorney, murder charges filed against suspect in Champaign stabbings. Rand Toolman was allegedly looking for his girlfriend when he attacked a couple. This article is written by Luke Taylor and is based out of Urbana. A 22-year-old Champaign woman who was stabbed Saturday morning provided police with a written statement about the incident because of a wound to her neck. The woman is still hospitalized, but appears to be recovering from her injuries, said State's Attorney Julia Reitz. A 23-year-old Rantoul man, Alex Muanabuta, that's M-U-A-N-A-M-B-U-T-A, has been charged with one count of attempted murder and two counts of aggravated battery for allegedly attacking her. He's also been charged with four counts of first-degree murder in the death of 22-year-old Nathan G. Goodman, G-U-D-E-M-A-N, the Champaign woman's boyfriend. Muanabuta was reportedly in a relationship with a relative of the female victim. Reed said investigators currently believe Muanabuta had showed up at the victim's home on the 1600 block of West Healy late Friday night and was inquiring about the whereabouts of his girlfriend, the female victim's relative. During the course of that conversation, he apparently began stabbing Mr. Goodman for unknown reasons with a knife that may have been in his pocket or otherwise concealed in his clothing. Mr. Goodman ran out of the house, and Muanabuta allegedly began pursuing the female victim within the house, stabbing her before fleeing. Police responded shortly after midnight and transported the female victim, who had also run outside, to an area hospital. Mr. Goodman was declared dead at the scene at 1:06 a.m. and had an autopsy on Monday. The Champaign County Sheriff's Office and the Rantoul Police Department assisted Champaign police in locating Muanabuta at a residence in Rantoul where he was arrested. Muanabuta was arraigned on seven charges Monday, and detained overnight, with his full pretrial detention hearing scheduled for 10 a.m. today. Anyone who has additional information can call 217-351-4545. That's 217-351-4545. Arrangements can be made for information to be shared privately. Anyone wishing to remain anonymous may also submit tips to Crime Stoppers by phone 217-373-8477 tips. That's 217-373-8477. The next headline reads, and it's actually just a large headline and photograph, front page of the newspaper. It's a woman hugging a woman, so a coach hugging a basketball player, female basketball player. The caption reads, Illini in the NCAA tournament. Fun while it lasted. At newsgazette.com, podcast, Talking Hoops on Monday Morning QBs, Inside Illini Basketball, and Monday Sports Talk. And in sports, live from Austin, beat writer Joe Vozelli has full coverage of the Illini women's basketball team's season-ending loss at Texas. The caption for this large photo reads, Illinois guard Genesis Bryant is hugged by coach Shauna Green during the final seconds of their 65-48 loss to Texas in the NCAA women's basketball tournament on Monday in Austin, Texas. That photo is provided or taken by Eric Gay for the Associated Press. So now both Illini men and women's basketball teams eliminated from NCAA play. Men lost to Kentucky on Sunday. Women lost to, it says, Texas on Monday. Great teams, but done for the season. The next headline reads, Champaign Park District, Clark Park closing soon for revamp. This article is written by Jana Wiersema and is based out of Champaign. If your child accidentally left their favorite toy truck in the sand pit during a recent visit to Clark Park, alongside the countless others left as donations over the years, now's the time to pick it up. In a couple of weeks, Park District staff will be collecting up what is left and placing them in storage until construction is complete, said Daniel Olson, Director of Operations and Planning for the Champaign Park District. This piece of advice was included in a number of updates Olson gave to park neighbors and community members as the district prepares to close sections of the park, including the sand pit, due to construction. The main pieces of the project are a new playground, ADA accessible sidewalks, and a larger basketball court, but the work also includes several smaller components. Park District officials have estimated that the work will take several months. Olson wrote in an email update on Sunday that construction fencing will start to go up this week. We are not intending to shut down the construction area just yet, but it will be soon, he said. We will be closing, no admittance, a large part of the core of the park, including the basketball court, funnel ball playground, and the sand play area. However, Olson noted that a portion of the grassy area on the south side of the park will stay open and many picnic tables that are currently within the core construction site will be placed elsewhere around the park. There will be more available, he said. We are currently working with contractors on staging areas and will have more details in an upcoming email. He added that the park's water will be turned off for the duration of the project. This includes the water in Fraker Fountain, that's F-R-A-K-E-R Fountain, which is not being altered. Park visitors are advised to bring water bottles to stay hydrated. The Champaign Park District Board of Commissioners voted in February to approve Petrie Kuhn Company, that's P-E-T-R-Y, Kuhn, K-U-H-N-E, Co's, Companies, bid of $919,490 for the construction project. We're now finalizing engineering and getting items ordered and into the supply chain, Olson said. We are still expecting construction to begin this spring. The winning bid included playground equipment from Game Time. This is a well-trusted manufacturing company, and we have some of their equipment at other playgrounds in Champaign. Community members who wish to stay updated on the Clark Park renovation can email Dan Olson at champaignparks.org. That's D-A-N dot Olson, O-L-S-O-N, at champaignparks.org with Clark Park Neighbors as the subject line to be added to an email list. And there's a photograph of the exterior of the park, like a swing set and trees. The caption reads, a visitor enjoys the swing set at Clark Park in Champaign. The toys in the sand pit area will soon be collected and placed in storage as a prelude to the beginning of renovation work in the park. That photo is provided by Robin Scholes of the News Gazette. The next headline reads, Mohammed Seymour Middle School, taking a big look at the tiniest of details. Stanford hands students control of an electron microscope. This article is written by Dave Hinton and is based out of Mohammed. Ants don't bother to shave their legs, but no one notices unless it's fellow ants because they're so small. That is, unless you're using technology to bring the subject nearer than the naked eye can see. Sixth graders in Jennifer Smith's science classes at Mohammed Seymour Middle School recently saw a variety of items up close and personal, even hairy ant legs, using a Stanford University-based scanning electron microscope. They were able to use the equipment virtually. It was really cool. The detail was really good, Ethan Miller, one of the students, said of seeing things in a new perspective. I was pretty surprised by it. It was like a video game mixed with an online interactive on a computer, like a virtual reality thing. The legs weren't the only thing or only area of the ant's body the students looked at. They also viewed the arthropod's eye. Claire Wegner enjoyed seeing a butterfly wing in minute detail. It's hard to explain, but it was very cool to look at it, to see the details so close, she said. You see all the little things that make up the wing. They look like hairs. Allie Monahan, or let's see, Ailey Monahan, said it wasn't just creatures from the animal kingdom that the sixth graders looked at. Also represented was the snack kingdom. They observed a Funyun chip up close. They were very deeply textured, Monahan said. It was kind of porous holes. It was rough, a little more than textured. The students were able to manipulate the microscope, zooming it in, moving it, and observing things from different angles. The microscope involvement was right up the alley of the three students interviewed, all of whom said they enjoy science and may even consider a science-based career. I've actually loved science since I was little, Miller said. Space is really cool. I enjoy learning how stuff on a bigger scale really works. Wegner said Smith's science class is fun because she enjoys learning. I also am very interested in space, she said. Noted Monahan. I've always been super interested in biology and the study of animals. I've considered going into veterinary medicine. I'm really interested in science. It's so cool getting to find out how things work. Science is behind everything, especially like space. It blows my mind how insignificant we are compared to everything. Smith brought the microscopic view to a different level for her classes. It is believed it was the first time students had viewed it virtually on a smart board. Prior to that, it was viewed on a laptop. They were excited. They had a lot of fun, Smith said. The experience came about because Smith participated in a nanotechnology class through Stanford, a week of virtual camp. They reached out to teachers to see if any of us were interested in using the SEM, S-E-M, in class, she said. I volunteered, and then I had to do some training on that specific device. Stanford has done a really cool job doing follow-up workshops with us, sharing materials with us. I definitely hope this becomes a lasting partnership. And there's a photograph of some students that are looking at a large screen, and they're kind of just looking at it together, and one is pointing on the screen, referencing a certain spot. The caption reads, Brody Melchior shows Carter Lee something on the smart board as the Muhammad Seymour Middle School sixth graders, connect to a scanning electronic microscope at Stanford University to examine the structure of an ant's eye. That photo is provided by Robin Scholes of the News Gazette. And a quick note, this story contains original reporting by the News Gazette staff. If you are not a subscriber, please consider becoming one because local journalism is only possible with your support. A subscription to the News Gazette plays a vital role in making this reporting possible. Thank you for your support in helping us continue to connect our community. The next headline reads, Top of the Morning, Something to Get You Going Today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. That's J-I-M, last name Rosso, R-O-S-S-O-W. Hall of Fame coach Teresa Grentz, that's Teresa, T-H-E-R-E-S-A, Grentz, G-R-E-N-T-Z, checked in unsolicited on Sunday morning, phoning in from Pennsylvania. Sports editor Matt Daniels took the call from his office desk, surprised he was on the other end. Grentz wanted someone to hear how impressed she was with the Illini women's basketball program. That Illinois team is pretty unbelievable, Grentz said. The Illini's win against Creighton on Saturday was the program's first in NCAA tournament play since Grentz's team beat Utah in the first round in the year 2000. That's a long time ago. What Shauna Green does and how she does it is tremendous, Grentz said. Absolutely tremendous. Illinois is so lucky to have her. She's great. Grentz is the program's all-time leader in wins. She and Green are the only women's basketball coaches with winning records at the U of I. The Illini, hampered by injuries all season, thrived despite a six-player rotation. "Those kids never stopped fighting," Grenz said. "It's not like, okay, poor us, why did this happen to us? They did it. Put your season tickets and sell it out next season. But get your season tickets and let's sell it out next season." Questions, comments, suggestions, you can always email Jim Rosso at jrossow@newsgazette.com. We hope you enjoyed our on-site coverage of the men's and women's NCAA tournaments, in which we produced three special editions for our online subscribers. It's a preview of what's to come as we continue to fine-tune our innovative efforts at newsgazette.com. And there's some images of their editions here as well. Congrats to the U of I basketball teams, both of them. Next up, history. Area history. In 1925, a special fund is being raised, or area history. In 1925, a special fund is being raised to stake farmers in the tornado-stricken area in southern Illinois by the Champaign County Farm Bureau, cooperating with the Illinois Agricultural Association. This fund has been necessary in order that these farmers in the stricken area may be furnished seed and equipment where they need assistance. In 1975, after voters defeated a school funding referendum on March 15th, the Urbana Board of Education reset the date for the public policy vote on the joint school park swimming pool from October 15th to Tuesday, April 29th. Board members declined to speculate on when they might call a second school tax rate referendum. Meantime, $700,000 in budget cuts must be made to balance next year's school budget. In 2010, the biggest star at Roger Ebert's film festival this year promises to be director-screenwriter Charlie Kaufman. A cult figure, Kaufman will appear after the screening on April 23rd of Schenectady, New York, made in 2008, Ebert's choice for the best film of the decade. And in international history, today's highlight, on March 25th, 1911, 146 people, mostly young female immigrants, were killed when a fire broke out at the Triangle Shirtwaist Company garment factory in New York. The tragedy led to legal reforms for workers' rights and workplace safety. That was in 1911. On this date in 1894, Jacob S. Coxey began a march from Massillon, Ohio, leading an army of as many as 500 unemployed workers to Washington to demand help from the federal government. And in 1931, in the so-called Scottsboro Boys case, nine young black men were taken off a train in Alabama and accused of raping two white women. After years of convictions, death sentences, and imprisonment, they were eventually vindicated. The next headline reads, let's actually take a quick look at our weather forecast over the next week. Today, 51 degrees, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of rain, northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour, overnight mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of rain and snow. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wednesday, the high will be 58, the low will be 33, mostly sunny. Northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Overnight, partly cloudy. Thursday, the high will be 59, the low will be 36, partly sunny with a 50% chance of rain showers. Friday, the high is 77, the low is 48, mostly sunny, a 30% chance of morning showers. And Saturday, the high will be 72, the low will be 57, partly sunny with a chance of showers in the morning, then mostly cloudy with showers, 60% likely in the afternoon. So mild temperatures, but we've got some rain coming in the next week. Next up, we're going to go to the town hall section, part B of the paper. And as a quick reminder, every Tuesday in the News Gazette, we'll turn over our commentary page to community members and other experts with local ties. If you have interest in weighing in on a topic making news, you can contact editor Jeff D'Alessio at jdalessio@newsgazette.com. The first headline reads, Election 2025, Difference of Opinion. Back on the ballot next Tuesday in City of Champaign Township, an increase in its property tax rate to support the Strides Low Barrier Homeless Shelter. Like in November, when the township-backed referendum fell, 17,389 against 13,083 for, supporters and detractors are making their cases, including three in this edition of Town Hall. We're going to hear first from Michael Markstahler, M-A-R-K-S-T-A-H-L-E-R. Am I against services for the homeless? No. Am I against government boondoggies? Yes. The money needed should come from many communities and governments, not just the citizens of Champaign. And another reaction from Claudia Lenhoff, L-E-N-N-H-O-F-F. If the Stride shelter is forced to close, individuals struggling with homelessness will still be around. Closing the shelter does not mean that homeless people go away. Where will they stay? What will they have to do to survive? And lastly, from Gil Terryberry, T-E-R-R-I-B-E-R-R-Y. And there's just portraits of each one of these people, and we'll read their full arguments maybe later on and be later on in the section. Gil has to say, Stride serves the most difficult and the most vulnerable individuals in the homeless population. Those who cannot or will not cooperate to the extent necessary to stay at the shelter will end up in jails or institutions or risk death. Those are the highlighted responses. And there's an exterior photograph of Strides Center with cars parked there. There's people hanging outside. The caption reads, the City of Champaign Township's Strides shelter is shown last week at 70 East Washington Street on the northern end of downtown Champaign. That photo is again provided by Robin Scholes. Robin, R-O-B-I-N, last name Scholes, S-C-H-O-L-Z, from the News Gazette. But first, let's read some from our readers. Letters written to the editor. Here we go. First one, it's even worse than we feared. On December 3rd, the News Gazette asked me in a town hall article to comment on what the prospects were for the University of Illinois based on the seemingly hostile reaction by the Trump administration against universities in general and funding basic health-related research in particular. I was extremely pessimistic, only now it appears I wasn't pessimistic enough. As a recipient of funding from the National Institutes of Health, NIH, and National Science Foundation, NSF, and despite the goals of my research being to solve neurological problems like Alzheimer's disease, there are major cutbacks. As I feared, the hiring of new graduate students is being downsized because we cannot be sure that there will be funding to pay for them and their research. It's absurd to say that Donald Trump and Elon Musk are concerned about waste or inefficiencies. They are the ones creating it. Just like Recep Tayyip Erdogan in Turkey and Viktor Orban in Hungary, we were initially freely elected, or who were freely elected, Trump and Musk feel like it is necessary to destroy the internal scientific societies before they destroy democracies in our country. I'm afraid the only hope is for people to loudly protest. But even our ability to speak up is being threatened by the silencing of people who have every right to be heard, green card holders and legal immigrants. So you don't think it will be your turn next? Already the powers that be are managing to silence older people simply by cutting back on the number of people working for the Social Security Agency. This means that telephone calls will require participants to be on hold for an hour or more. Still not you? Remember the Holocaust. Then they came for us, and there was no one left to speak for me. Quote unquote. This is from Paul Selvin, a U of I professor of physics and biophysics. Next up, Savoy Board Bax Brown. So another letter. We, the next Board of Trustees, I'm so sorry, that was my dog and he saw something. I hope it didn't hurt your ears too much. Let's continue. Savoy Board, Bax Brown. We, the next Board of Trustees for the Village of Savoy, encourage re-electing John Brown, J-O-H-N, last name Brown, B-R-O-W-N, as Village President. John Brown has built strong relationships with the trustees, administrators, staff, local businesses, and our citizens. Through relationships, teamwork, and hard work in his first term, we have, here's a list, operated within budget and grown financial reserves, held property taxes flat, hired our first full-time fire chief and implemented part-time staffing that reduced response times by 59%, developed and implemented a parks and a storm water master plan, secured more than $29 million in grant funding for the Curtis Road Grade Separation Project and Shared Use Paths, facilitated over $100 million in economic growth and development. John engages with the trustees to deliver results for the village. He communicates progress and engages each of us to leverage our strengths to serve Savoy. John is focusing on delivering the Curtis Road Project, the Shared Use Path Projects, the downtown development, and supporting our staff to deliver the daily needs of our residents. John is a strong advocate for addressing historical stormwater issues and enhancing our beautiful parks. John Brown's positive teamwork approach is working across the village and makes a difference and is needed to drive to even greater success. John Brown is an experienced and trusted leader that will continue getting results for Savoy. This is signed by the Savoy Village Board. Bill Vavrick, D. Schonkweiler, Larry Canfer, Joan Dykstra, Heather Manigan, Dennis Donaldson, and is based out of Savoy. The next headline reads, as a follow-up to that, spotlight on Savoy Village President. Resident, Jared Ellison asks, Savoy used to have orchard days, which provided a chance to bring the community together and to bring others to the village. Do you have any ideas about creating a festival or event to provide an opportunity to celebrate Savoy? Here are their answers. Quickly, John Brown, and we'll hear from... Oh, this is John Brown's answer. We'll get the highlights, and then we'll hear back from the other candidate in part two. So stay with me, part two. The other candidate is Jan Carter Nickum. So from John Brown, incumbent village president. In 2006, Orchard Days was the 50th anniversary celebration of Savoy's incorporation. From then on, a great annual community event. My children were young during that time, and I have fond memories of attending with my family every year. Orchard Days 2014 cost the village over $51,000, not including the numerous hours of staff time spent. When our expectation of an independent community group taking over management of Orchard Days did not materialize, the village board made the difficult decision to discontinue the event. It was hard to justify the expenditure of time and resources at a time when the village had higher priorities to address. Fortunately, the Savoy Rec and Parks Department was well established at that point and routinely holds events designed to bring the community together, such as Touch a Truck with the Savoy Fire Department and police personnel, the Fall Festival, the Nerf Wars, a daddy-daughter dance, and different events at the Tolono Library. As Savoy continues to develop its parks, green spaces, shared use paths, and a downtown, we look forward to establishing unique to Savoy events to bring our community and others together. I'm Susan Muirhead. This has been part one of the News Gazette for March 25th, 2025. Stay with me for part two.